Who is wise? You lot, I hope. Men? Good. We'll find out. Back to chapter 11 and verse 12, in fact. The chapter division between 11 and 12 is in the wrong place in our versions. It should finish on verse 11 in chapter 11, and it starts in verse 12 of chapter 11, forming chapter 12. In the Hebrew Bible, apparently, it's verse 1 of the next chapter. Yeah. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, the house of Israel with deceit. Judah is unruly against God, and even against the faithful Holy One. So we have here a description about Ephraim. Ephraim's the northern kingdom, Judah's the southern kingdom, and the house of Israel is referring to the north at this point, yes? Ephraim has surrounded me with lies. I was talking to someone the other day, the hardest people you can deal with are people who you can't believe a word they're saying. And this was Ephraim. He was surrounding him with lies all the time. You couldn't trust him. With deceit. They'd make good politicians, wouldn't they? Yeah, oh dear. Yes. And Judah is unruly. The word for unruly there is like an animal that's sort of a wild animal type of thing that's been tethered but is broken loose, you know, basically. And it contrasts, their behaviour contrasts with God, who is the faithful one. God has been true to himself, true to his promises, true to wanting to bless these people, and they've just turned their backs on him. What a sorry state for a nation to get into, yeah? And then he describes the effects of all this. We're on to chapter 12 now, by the way, Janice. Verse 1. Yeah. Ephraim feeds on the wind. What do you get when you feed on wind?
Not a lot.
Yeah. Fruitless, pointless effort. That's really what it's getting at here. He pursues the east wind all day. One of the things that you need to know about the weather in the Middle East is we have in this country the beast from the east in the wintertime, don't we? Yeah? Yeah, that's the continental weather comes in from the east and freezes us. What's the beast from the east in Israel is the weather that comes off the desert, the Arabian desert. It is dry, it is hot, it is bad. Yeah. And so Ephraim is what they're doing there. He says they pursue the east wind all day long, chasing the wind. You won't get anything, and it's a fruitless struggle, waste of time. There's a challenge I'd just like to offer that one for us all, you know. I'm not trying to depress us, but you know, when you measure up at the end of the day, what have I achieved? Yeah?
You
know,
not a lot.
Not a lot. Have I been using my time wisely, Lord? Well, we try, don't we? But chasing the wind.
So I was once watching a programme about one of those insect beetle ugly thing, planting into another beast. Where it liquefies the innards off the innards, and I'm saying, Lord, it's awful, that's awful, it's ugly, it's all ugly. What for, Lord? What use is that? And like that, I got, what use are you?
Oh dear! Oh dear!
I think it's like you're in the lottery.
Yeah.
Chasing.
Yeah. Chasing the wind, okay, there we are. That was Ephraim. If you turn against God, it break down in society is what it's about, yeah. So they're wasting, they pursue the wind all day and multiply lies and violence. So the society becomes more and more corrupt and violence breaks out all over the place, which is what we're seeing in many parts of the world now, isn't it? Now, the Lord, he makes one of the problems. He makes a treaty with Assyria and sends olive oil to Egypt. Now, what's going on is Israel is playing two times here, basically, that Assyria is the ascendant power. They're the ones that are oppressing them. They've made a treaty with them. They saw, we'll be good children, we'll behave ourselves. And then they send olive oil to Egypt. Olive oil is a pretty expensive commodity. It's one of the sort of sending something, a nice gift to Egypt to get them on your side so they'll help you against the other side. When you start doing that, it's not going to work out very well.
No.
Yeah. That's what's happened. So the Lord has a charge to bring against Judah. So God's got some words for Judah. He will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. So the Lord is saying that these are things he's going to have to deal with these people, and Judah's included in that. Yeah, so things aren't good with the kingdom at all. And in fact, the olive oil is mentioned later on. We won't look it up now, but it's mentioned in the letter, in the history of the time of Israel in the Book of Kings. The last king of Israel in the north was a guy called Hosea, and you know what they sent to Egypt?
Oil.
Olive oil. Mm. Yes. Trying to get in with Egypt, and the boss in Assyria found out. He was not best pleased. So trouble for them after that. Yeah.
And Jacob, I mean, Jacob was called Israel after his night with the Lord, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
His name changed.
Yes. Yes. His name gets changed, but here it's just a reference to the people at the moment. But the reason he puts the name Jacob in is he's going to talk about Jacob the old boy and apply it to the rest of the people as well, as you'll see in a moment. But it's a sort of an introduction, yeah. Anyway, he will punish Jacob according to his ways and repay him according to his deeds. Oh dear. Well, I ask you a question. If God dealt with you as you deserve, we wouldn't stand very long, would we? Yeah. No. He's merciful. But, you know, if you choose to resist him, that's all the options that's available. But that's what they were doing. Yeah. Now, he's talking about Jacob. In the womb, he grasped his brother's heel. You know who that was? Yeah. That was Jacob. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Why did he grasp his brother's heel?
He wanted to be first.
He wanted to be first. He wanted to be first. That's all right. That's considered as good. He valued the birthright. His other brother didn't, of course. Yeah.
That's all gone on before you go.
I was listening to Derek Prince.
Yes.
I think he was talking about it this morning, and he was saying that in the New Testament, within the scripture, it talks about Jacob. But then when it talks about Israel, it's when they've actually turned towards God, rather than...
Okay, well, it's the old life, is Jacob,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
It was the old life.
Well, we're talking about him. Jacob, in this particular instance, is set up as an example of what it means to stay true to God. Mm. And he's using Jacob, their ancestor, as a rebuke to the people. They should be following in granddad's footsteps. And they are. That's what he's getting at. So we have him, he grasped his brother's heel, and as a man he struggled with God. You know when he did that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the angel. The angel of the Lord. Yeah. An interesting little, just an aside on this one, he describes there the angel of the Lord as God. Because it's Jesus. Yes, that's who it was, yeah. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. Yes? Well, how did he struggle with the angel? Well, I mean, it was a physical wrestling match, but there's more going on. How do you struggle with God?
Conscience.
No, Jacob. Jacob wanted blessing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's what it was about. He says, I'm not letting you go unless you bless me. Uh-huh. So you can call it a sort of fervent prayer, a desire to know God's blessing. Uh-huh. That was Jacob. Uh-huh. That was his life, really, in the end. Uh-huh. A man that wanted God and his blessing. Uh-huh. And that's what he's using as an example for these people. That's the last thing that they want. So here we have Jacob struggled with God. He struggled with the angel and overcame him. He wept and begged for his favour. Well, how many Israelites have been doing that lately?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, it would seem, yes. He found him at Bethel and talked with him there.
Yeah.
Well, that was when he was coming back, you know, and the Lord met with him and dealt with him there and gave him his new name in the end, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the original, the Hebrew says, he found him at Bethel and talked with us there. Talked with us there.
With him.
He says with him. That's the translation. Well, he did talk with him. But Hosea doesn't write with him. He writes with us. Essentially, what's going on here, from what I can understand, is that Hosea is saying is, what God did for Jacob, he was dealing with us as his descendants at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what God did for Jacob, he's promised to bless his descendants if we follow in Jacob's footsteps.
Yeah.
What he did for him, he did for us.
Yeah.
So there's the invitation, follow Grandad. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, the Lord Almighty, the Lord is his name of renown. Yeah, that's God who they're talking about. And Lord God Almighty, you don't get better than that, do you?
Mm.
Yeah. And therefore, verse 6, and you, or but you, must return to your God. That's really what he's saying is, if that was what Jacob did, well, it's about time you did as well.
Yeah.
You've got to turn back to God. That's the only answer for their sinful problems. And it's the only answer for anybody else's problems either. Mm. Turning back to God. Yeah? And what have they got to do? How do they turn back to God? That, to turn back means that they're converted.
Yeah.
Genuinely converted. It's not sort of, you know, I'll just tow in with God for a week or two till it all calms down. To turn back, it means to turn to God and put your trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's what Hosea is calling for, the nation to be converted. Sad, isn't it, really? There's the people supposed to be God's children needing converted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone wrote to the government recently, apparently, asking for a day of prayer, and they got a reply back saying, no, days of prayer are only called for during war.
Really?
During war.
What's
war? Well, we're in a war. We're in a war. Mm. Well, that's what he's calling for, turning to God. Well, he says, you've got to turn back to God, and then, he says, maintain love and justice. Interestingly, who do you maintain love and justice towards?
Justice.
People, each other.
Yeah.
Basically saying is, it's no good saying you're God's children and then start beating up your neighbour and doing the dirty on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He says, we want to see some justice and we want to see some honesty around here. And basically, he's saying if you're genuinely saved, it should affect the way you treat your neighbour.
Yep.
The two commands, love the Lord and your neighbour.
Yeah.
That's what as yourself. And wait for your God always. Keep trusting him. It's the two commands, isn't it?
Yeah.
Believe him, trust him, and show it in the way you live.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's calling for. Yeah? But he's calling on pretty deaf ears at times. The next verse. The Canaanite, or merchant, it's another word for Canaanites here. The merchant uses dishonest scales. He loves to defraud.
Yeah, put your finger on it.
There we are. We're talking about maintaining love and justice.
Yeah.
You go to the market and you get conned out of your dosh. Yeah, that's the merchants for you.
God hates that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using dishonest scales. In fact, it is. It's in one of the commandments in Leviticus.
Yeah.
Leviticus 19:36 says you must use honest scales.
Yeah,
because God's a God of justice.
Yeah.
You better make sure. Do you know, that was a verse that the Lord, it was in Proverbs, but same idea. The Lord abhors dishonest scales.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when, just a little story for you, when we were contemplating coming to March, it was to do with a house sale. We sold our house to someone. The person who wanted to buy it couldn't buy it because her father had died, and so it all sort of fell through for a long time. And so we sold our house, and we put in an offer here, and some time went by. It was a long time, nothing ever happened. And then the lady who wanted to buy a house came along and said, it's all sorted out now, I can buy the house now. And she was offering us a £500 more. I mean, it's some money in those days, you know.
Yeah.
A £500 more than what we'd accepted.
Mm.
And I said to her, you know, I'm sorry, I just really can't accept it now, love. I'm sorry, because we've made an agreement with the person who's buying.
Yeah.
And that evening I was reading Proverbs, it says the Lord abhors dishonest scales, so I felt good about that. The follow on from that was, I came to, it was Grounds, the estate agents there, and he called me in. He said the person you're buying from, he said that someone wants to make an extra offer on them, would you be able to up the offer? We were offered £1,000 more, that's what it was. And the person who was at this end said, they've offered £500 more. I said, I'll tell you, Mr. Grounds. I said, someone offered me £1,000 more for our house yesterday, and I turned it down because I'd agreed to sell to someone else at a certain price.
Yeah.
They agreed to sell at this price. You tell them, what are they going to do about it? I've turned down £1,000 in order to let them to buy them.
Yeah.
Are they going to turn down £500 in order to sell to me? So he went back and he said, yes, they'll do it, but you have to do it quick. Yeah. The Lord abhors this on his scale. That was the verse, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
On this Brexit, yes. Sorry about that. There was an MP saying, people have said they're going to vote for Theresa in the confidence vote, but because it's a secret ballot, they probably won't. You can't rely on it.
Yeah.
And she said, she spoke as though this was perfectly all right, perfectly normal.
Yeah.
This is life.
It is perfectly normal, I'm afraid, but it doesn't mean to say it's right.
Well, it's deplorable, isn't it?
Well, there you are. Well, I mean, there was a classic one. Was it just the other day? Before she announced in Parliament that she was deferring the vote, she'd sent Michael Gove to the media with a message saying we weren't going to change, we were going to go ahead with it.
Yeah.
Poor guy's made to look a complete fool, isn't he, really?
Yeah, man, as well. He was sort of saying.
Anyway, there you are. That's something to say. Lies and deceit, dear friends. We're in. It's still, nothing's changed. Nothing new under the sun. Right, now we've got to it. Yes, so, the merchant uses dishonest scales. He loves to defraud. He thinks he's getting away with it, yeah? And Ephraim boasts, I am very rich. I've become wealthy. How have they become wealthy and very rich? Through defrauding and cheating and lying. Yeah? And I've got one word for them, and I've one word for anybody else. Ill-gotten gains. Take wings and fly away.
Be sure
of it, yes?
Yes.
So, there we are. That's Ephraim nicely shown for what they are. They say, with all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. Yeah, well, they may not find it, but I know somebody who will. Yes. Okay, so, that's this. Yeah, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Basically, they're saying is, look, all the prosperity that we've got, how we're doing so well, it's obviously with their dishonest working, but it says, all the blessings that we've got, we've done it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right? And God has to remind them, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt.
Yeah.
I'm the one that got you to where you are. It's about time you recognized it. But he says, I will make you live in tents again, as in the days of your appointed priests. They had a feast called Sukkot, you know, the Feast of Tabernacles, when they were supposed to live in the tents for a period of time to help them appreciate how God had blessed them and got them out of Egypt, provided for them in the desert. And the Lord saying is, here you are thinking everything's great. I tell you what, I'm going to put you back in tents.
This
is a permanent arrangement. It's not a holiday outing,
when I'm talking to people and you sort of talk to people about the Lord and that, and they, oh, the Lord's never done anything for me.
Oh, dear.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that's what they need to come to the conclusion of, isn't it?
Yes.
Every good gift is from God.
Well, Paul had to say that to the pagans. He says, look, you get your rain, you get your sunshine, God provides you with your food,
your bread.
It's God.
With your reason.
Right.
With your babies and everything.
Yeah. Verse 10, I spoke to the prophets and gave them many visions and told parables through them. So God had provided for them all the time through the desert. He guided them, and over the centuries later, he provided with prophets and teachers in order to keep them on the right road. Yes? But did they listen?
Still they turned away.
Verse 11. Is Gilead wicked? Its people are worthless. Gilead was where the calves were, you know, where they worshipped. Yeah. Do they sacrifice bulls in Gilgal? Well, that's where the idolatrous worship was going on. And this is God's promise to them. Their altars will be like piles of stones on a ploughed field.
What
use is
that?
Yeah. Rubble. That's what it's going to finish up as.
Yeah.
Jacob fled to the country of Aram. Israel served to get a wife. Yeah. And for Jacob, it was a hard time. You know, I mean, he had to work to get his wife and so on. The Lord saying is, you're going to face a hard time to learn a few lessons, you know, that's really what it's getting at here. He served to get a wife and to pay for her, he tended sheep. That's hard work, yeah. The Lord used a prophet to bring Israel up from Egypt. That was Moses, yeah. And by a prophet he cared for him. But Ephraim has bitterly provoked him to anger. His Lord will leave him upon leave upon him the guilt of his bloodshed, and will repay him for his contempt. Mm-hmm. So the Lord's saying, after all I've done for you, I'm going to have to sort you out, aren't I? That's really what it's about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now then, back chapter 13, that was a quick one, wasn't it? Yeah. When Ephraim spoke, men trembled. He was exalted in Israel. Those were the old days.
Yeah,
yeah, they were flying high. God had blessed them. Yeah. But he became guilty of Baal worship and died. So what was a great nation, well, a great part of the nation, the tribe
ended.
And his people, they started into idolatry, and that's the end of them. Now they sin more and more. They make idols for themselves from their silver, cleverly fashioned images, all of them the work of craftsmen. Waste of time,
idols.
Isn't it? I mean, why on earth do people... Well, they do, I mean, they still do, right? Make their idols of one thing or another. Yeah. And they go to... And these are really skilled people, you know. Great art, you could call it, great art. Now, I bring you the question. Yeah?
That's why they were upset at Jesus, wasn't it? Because he was upsetting their economy, really.
Yes, he was. Now, I just want to take you to Ely for a minute. Now, if you go around Ely Cathedral, you see all these statues with their heads knocked off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, a lot of our culture people will say, oh, what a desecration, spoiling all that lovely artwork. And it was really great craftsmanship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So why did Cromwell and his guys go around knocking their heads off?
They didn't believe in effigies, did they?
But the effect of really what they were saying was that, you know, people are worshipping this stuff. That's the problem. Well, what you've got to do with idols that people worship is knock their heads off. I'd have knocked them off. As wonderful as the craftsmanship was. But there you are. I'd probably get locked up for that, but never mind.
One thing that puzzled me over the years is about sculpture then.
What?
Well,
don't worship it then.
That's always the issue. You don't worship what your hands have made, but you thank God for the skills he gives. I mean, you look in, for example, in the construction of the temple with Bethuel and the Eliab, isn't his name, I think they they were top craftsmen. Great skills in making all the articles and the furniture for the tent, the tabernacle and everything else. God chose the best craftsmen, but the men who did it were doing it for God. It wasn't for their own glory. And I suspect the original craftsmen who built things like the cathedrals and whatever, well, I'm told they built it for the glory of God. We assume they've got the right motives. But the problem was that what was created as beautiful, it was the same with Moses' snake. What was meant to be a blessing to the people becomes a curse to the people because they start worshipping the thing. And when they start worshipping them, Moses' rod gets bashed up. And was it Gideon's ephod has to go as well? Because if they become objects of idolatry, then they're doing the wrong thing.
In all that, I mean, he never said make a picture of me or anything like that. I mean,
you can't make a picture of the Lord.
Well,
although I'll ask you this question: the little girl in the Sunday school, what are you drawing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, well, nobody knows what God looks like. And the little girl says, well, they will do when I finish.
Jesus said to me, once you've seen me, you've seen Father.
Yes.
So we are heirs with him. So we should be, once you've seen us, you've seen Father.
But it's a spiritual discerning of that. I'll just ask you this one. This is an interesting question because I'm going to show a video on the carol service, and it's got portrayals of Jesus in there, you know, the typical Jesus with the long hair and the beard and everything else. What do you think the portrayals of Jesus? Some don't like.
I've seen one that came on the television and it was really, you felt peace coming off it.
My only answer to that simply is that Jesus was human, and therefore you can portray a human by a human. Yeah, but the characters that Jesus has as God are certainly not portrayable by you.
No.
So it's a difficult, I think it's a difficult one, Matt, to be honest. But we don't go around worshipping men. Hopefully not. Even on the screen, you don't.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. Yeah. No. But you did say we are made in His image, and Jesus was made in His image.
And people saw Jesus as a man. That's the thing. Yes. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that one in. There we are. It's
all the tourist places, you hear this chip, 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 and they're taking blocks of stone and they're doing sculptures.
Are they?
More than half of them are gods. But they're doing it to make money.
Yes.
People buy them.
English
tourists buy them.
Oh dear. Okay, so work of craftsmen, cleverly fashioned, yes.
What about that book with that little boy when he went to heaven and he asked him to pick out a picture of him?
Oh, that one, yes.
And
yes.
He picked out that one. I've got one, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see, Gene. Yes. Okay, verse 2.5. It is said of these people, they offer human sacrifice and kiss the calf idols. Now, whether that's actually what it says there, it's the sacrifices is what the word is. The sacrifices kiss the calf idols. And it may mean that they do offer human sacrifice, so there's no evidence of that really. But they are kissing the calf idols. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As one of the strangest things, I don't know, in some of these countries where people have all these statues around, we went to Prague sometime, a long time ago now, and on Charles Bridge there are these statues all the way along.
Yeah.
And if you look at the feet of the statues, they're all sort of worn away and polished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through people kissing the rich
and
things.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you go to Rome?
Yeah.
There's a statue in Rome and they actually go around.
Yeah.
And there's a black Madonna.
Is there, right?
In Spain.
She's wearing out, is she?
And she's wearing because she's
feet are going.
Yeah.
Where did that put the Wailing Wall? Because
they
kiss that,
don't
they?
I don't know if they kiss it, they pray out.
They have a pray.
The Wailing Wall is just the remains of the old temple base. It's the last bit they've got of the old temple, really.
Yeah.
They put prayers in there.
Yeah. They're making an idol.
Yes.
Sort of
I don't think they're making an idol of it.
No, they're making it.
It's a holy place. A holy place.
Derek Prince said this morning, a young 25-year-old Jewish girl came up to him and said, well, you know, I've listened to you and I don't know whether he's real or whether he isn't. So he said, come with me, and he took her in this room and he said, right, sit there for 10 minutes, I'll be back
that
in 10 minutes.
That was important.
He said, but talk to him. But talk to him. Tell him how you feel, tell him what you're worried about, all the things. You know, he said, and I'll be back in 10 minutes. And he said, you know, I went back, and she said, he's alive! and she started ministering to him, 25 years old. Derek Prince has spent years searching the scriptures. But
she said, Derek Paulson.
David Paulson.
David Paulson.
David Paulson.
David, was it David
Paulson?
Yeah.
Yeah, not Derek, David.
David
Paulson,
yeah.
Good point.
Grey haired man. Beard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he has such a nice man. But he said, you know, because she'd got all the past of the Jewish people, she knew stuff that he didn't.
She could teach him the Bible.
It was brilliant. Really good.
Anyway, we're not kissing calf idols or anything else. That's the point. Well, that's what they were doing, Therefore, they will be like, this is verse 3, therefore they will be like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Like the chaff swirling from the threshing floor, like smoke escaping through the window. They're not going to be around. It's insubstantial. Basically, they're going. Blown away. And just one interesting little thought on this one. Like smoke escaping through the window. Do you know why the smoke escaped through the window? It didn't have glass. No, because they didn't have chimneys. Didn't do chimneys. So that's where your smoke went, out the window. Alright, anyway, I just thought you'd take you back in time, you see. Yeah. Verse 4. But I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall acknowledge no God but me, no Saviour except me. So God's saying that's me you should be turning to, yeah? And then he describes what he'd done for them. He said, I cared for you in the desert, in the land of burning heat. then when I fed him, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud, and then they forgot me.
Yeah. They given what
there's
they
a terrible, them. Terrible lesson in this.
But wealth, isn't it?
It is. There's it's a strange verse, but it sticks in my mind. You might know it. It's in Deuteronomy. It's 32:15, if you want to look the number up, but it's this. Jeshurun waxed, this is the old version, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. He's describing him as a cow, right? And he says, he's grown sleek and well fed, and what's he done? He's going to kick the hand that feeds him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's the danger, brothers and sisters. Is it a blessing to have hardship or prosperity?
Hardship.
Hardship,
because you learn them to appreciate.
There's no poor in Proverbs, yeah. Otherwise, if I'm too poor, I'll be tempted to steal.
Yeah.
If I'm too well lined, I'll say to God, don't call me, I'll call you when I need you. Yes. So, where's what happened to Israel? God blessed them. And brothers and sisters, what's the cure for stopping blessings becoming a curse?
Go against God.
Thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Appreciate where it's come from and thank God for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other is, don't hold on to stuff. You know, the danger is, you know, the more you have, the more you sort of form chains around your house to protect it all. Yeah.
You know, I put it on my fridge, and when I put it on there, I didn't really realise what I was doing. But I wrote, I dream of a bigger house.
Yeah.
And, over the last few weeks, he's just shown me how my house has grown. The amount of people that I talk to and the amount of people I know.
That's a different type of growth.
Massive. And you know, yeah, but I was thinking of the physical house.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it wasn't, it was my house.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Everybody I know.
Excellent, very good.
Yeah.
All right, well, where have we got to? Yes, verse 7. So I, as a result, because they've got so full of themselves, so I will come upon them like a lion, like a leopard I will lurk in their path, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack and rip them open, like a lion I will devour them, a wild animal will tear them apart. They're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And God said, he compares himself to lions and leopards and bears, wild animals that are going to attack this flock that have completely lost the plot. So, verse 9, you are destroyed, O Israel, because you are against me, against your helper. And again, for God to say, I'm your helper, is a sort of invitation, isn't it?
Mm.
If only you'd listen, come back to me, and things could be different.
Yeah.
Now, where is your king that he may save you? Well, they've lost so many, and they're going to lose the last one as well. Where are your rulers in all your towns, of whom you said, give me a king and princes? So in my anger I gave you a king, and in my wrath I took him away. Well, that happened in the time of Samuel, of course, when Israel asked for a king, but it was true in the time of Jeroboam, when after the split with Rehoboam and Solomon's son. The kingdom split, went off to the north. They wanted a king. They didn't want this southern lot, David's gang. And so as a result, they got this king and went downhill, of course. God took him away. Verse 12. The guilt of Ephraim is stored up. His sins are kept on record. Oh, yes. Yeah. God doesn't forget.
Mm.
Mm. Pains of a woman in childbirth come to him.
But he does forget, he says.
Yeah.
If you repent.
That's a different thing, yeah. Yeah. Sins that have not been dealt with are still on the record. Now, how about this? He described a rather graphic picture about the nation. Pains of a woman of childbirth come to him, but he's a child without wisdom. When the time arrives, he does not come to the opening of the womb. Midwife's in trouble then. Yeah. Baby won't be born. Basically saying, you're really stupid. Yeah. You know, I've come to give you life, and just stay where you are.
Stay where you are. Get your head out. Come on.
Now, but what about this? I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, are your plagues? Where, O grave, is your destruction? Yeah? God says, in the middle of all this, you know, God says, I'm going to sort it out. Yeah, and the time will come when he will ransom them from the power of the grave. They're really going down fast. The Lord can lift them out. Wonderful, eh? And Paul quotes that, where, O death, are your plagues, where, O grave, is your destruction. Saying, you know, what's the cause of death? You know what I mean? You see it on the death certificate. Cause of death. Right? Short of breath, my dad used to say. Yeah. But, yeah, there may be all sorts of causes of death, but the real cause of death is sin. Yeah. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says, yes, the power of sin is the law, God's command. When God says the soul that sins will die. So sin has got the backing of the law. He says, but thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through Jesus. We've got sins dealt with, and therefore we don't have to suffer its consequences. Right, onward and upward, here we go. I will have no compassion though he thrives among his brothers. An east wind from the Lord will come, blowing in from the desert. His spring will fail, and his well dry up. His storehouse will be plundered of all its treasures.
Wow.
So, one minute he's saying, I'm going to sort them out, and then the next minute he looks at where they are and thinks, oh, they're in trouble. It's bad, really bad, yeah. Going to sort them out. The wind from the desert again, yeah, the dry one, yeah. The people of Samaria must bear their guilt, because they've rebelled against their God. They will fall by the sword, their little ones will be dashed to the ground, their pregnant women ripped open. Oh, that was the Assyrians. They were brutal. They really were. And God says, you know, there's no cure for Israel except that he has to go through the hard time. And that's the problem. Sometimes you have to let you go down to the bottom before you start coming
up. That's what he was saying. He was saying about the fact about anti-Semitism in America and England and the British Isles and everything. And he said, but every time the Jews have gone back, they've been made uncomfortable in the places they are. So he said, this is biblical, that it will happen because they're all to move back to Jerusalem.
Yeah. I think it's in Isaiah, there's an interesting verse about where God's going to call his people back. He says, he'll call for them, sort of whistle for them, and if they don't respond that way, he'll send the archers after them.
Watch it.
Yeah. In other words, you can come willingly, I'm going to get you out anyway. Yeah. So there you go. That's another story. Yes, we'll leave that at that.
I don't know why they wouldn't want to get
that.
No.
Right, verse 4, chapter 14. Right, last chapter. Very briefly, but it's a beautiful chapter. It's him calling the people back to God. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. That's he's calling them to repent again. Come back to God. That's the only answer. Yeah. And then he says, take words with you and return to the Lord. That what sort of words are you going to take with you?
Good word.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you the first word you need to say. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yes. The idea, it comes from it's from Exodus when he says, you've not to appear before the Lord empty handed. Yeah? You bring something because he's worthy. Yeah? Well, the only stuff you can bring that's worthy is repentance. Yeah? So take words with you and say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously.
Praise and worship as well.
The process of restoration has to be repentance. They come back in asking forgiveness and asking God to receive them graciously. You know why he can receive them graciously? Because it's got to be grace. Mm. They don't deserve any reception.
No.
Yeah. And then he says that we may offer the fruit of our lips. The original is to sort of offer the bullocks or the calves of our lips. And it's mentioned in Hebrews. What's the fruit of our lips? In Hebrews, it's the sacrifice of praise. The idea that we're not bringing animal sacrifices, God's not interested in the animal sacrifices as such. It's the heart that the animal sacrifice is tied up with, of course. Yeah, it's the offering of our genuine repentance and thanks to God for his mercy. So that's what they're coming with, and when they seek forgiveness, then they can start worshipping. Yeah, right.
Only by grace can we enter.
Yeah, and then it says in verse 3, This is an acknowledgement of now where they are. Assyria cannot save us. You know, we've tried a treaty with this lot, treaties with that lot, sent our oil down to Egypt, all a waste of effort, because they can't save us. Only God can. Yeah? Mm-hmm. We will not mount war horses. That's the, or horses is one of the translations, but the, what are they, what's the war horses? We will not mount war horses about. But the idea is this, let me say. They say we won't turn to foreign powers to save us, and we won't get on our horses to save ourselves. Yeah, we won't call out our army, because our army can't save us either. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Never again, and that's so they're going to avoid all that sort of stuff. And then he says, we will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. At last, they've mm-hmm. got rid of the idols
yeah.
and recognize this stuff is not God. Mm-hmm. We'll never call what we've made God anymore. Mm-hmm. And then the promise is, for in you the fatherless find compassion. God, you'll call us back into your family. We're orphans, but we'll be back in the family because we can find compassion mm-hmm. with a God who's willing to have us if we're willing to say sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I will heal your waywardness, or their waywardness, and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Well, it would. Once they've sorted things out with God, the door's open.
Mm-hmm.
I'll heal their waywardness. Yes, the point being is, you know, when we come to the Lord, we come with all sorts of baggage, I suppose, mm-hmm. and he'll start sorting it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the wrong ways we think, the wrong ways we behave, he'll clean it up. I love them freely. How about that? Free, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like this one. It says, "Will I will love them with all my heart."
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No longer mm-hmm. am I angry with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Super. I will be like the dew to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, in that country, one of the things that's really appreciated is water.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
today.
Yeah. And the dew is the sort of the nighttime refreshing. That's the, what keeps things working.
Yeah.
You may not have rain during the day, but if you get the dew getting yeah. through at night,
yeah.
it works. Yeah. Yeah. So, and the result is there's going to be some growth going here.
Yeah.
He will blossom like a lily. How about that? That's these whatever flower it is. It's one of those beautiful flowers in the Middle East.
Yeah. Lilies.
Well, yeah, one sort of lily anyway. Yes. He'll blossom like that. What does he mean? He'll blossom like a lily. It's going to look good again.
Good.
Yeah. Right. Like the cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. Yeah? His young shoots will grow. What's happening when... How can the cedar of Lebanon grow so tall and so majestic? It's because it's got some superb roots. Deep roots.
Yeah.
It's basically... God's saying is, I will stabilize them. There'll be stability in the nation. Beauty and strength.
Yeah?
His splendour will be like an olive tree.
All shiny and green.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Magic, lovely, yeah. Love to look at, yeah. And his fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon.
Mm.
Have you ever... I recommend if you go to the Cambridge Botanical Gardens, they've got cedars of Lebanon in there. Mm. Or if you find a cedar of Lebanon anywhere, go over and smell its trunk.
Yeah.
Mm. It's got that beautiful smell about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, the trunk?
Yeah. The whole tree's got this... aromatic resin in it, yeah. And the spices that grow in Lebanon as well. Basically, saying is you're going to smell nice, but the point being is, you're fragrant, you're a blessing, you are blessed, and you are a blessing. Yeah.
Of course, he could have done them with that in the pharmacy this morning.
Oh well, there you go. Never mind. We'll not continue that one. Men will dwell again in his shade. He's talking about the nation now, and. Basically, it's saying that the nation will now become a place where people can find refuge.
Mm.
Where it's a place to get away from the heat, as it were. Mm. Yeah? He will flourish like the corn. So there's going to be growth. Yeah? This is all promises for the nation.
Mm.
Yeah? After they've returned to the Lord. Yeah? And of course, that's the promise for the person who turns to the Lord, isn't it? If we come to the Lord, he says he's going to bless you, he's going to give you stability, he's going to make you a blessing to others. That's the idea of what's going on. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. Well, vines are very luxuriant growers, you know.
Mm.
Yes, yes, you are. They grow very fast. Yes. Okay. Oh, Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? And the answer is nothing, because they've all gone. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We've got shut of them.
Yeah.
Right. I will answer him and care for him. There's a promise, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And you can put her in there as well, ladies, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Lord says this. This is one of the strangest verses you might find in Hosea. I'm like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. I'm like a green pine tree.
Evergreen.
Evergreen. That's lovely, yes. Someone's compared it to the tree of life. The Lord is a tree of life to us, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A luxuriant tree is in the Messiah, we'd say. Yeah. And he says, your fruitfulness comes from me. Now, you won't know this, but, well, you might do. What does the name Ephraim mean?
Ephraim.
Oh. It tells you in there. Well, I'll say the looking it up, it means fruitful.
Fruitful.
Yeah. Yeah, fruitful. So, God's saying is, your name, your character, comes from me. I'm the source of your life. Just like the tree of life, the pine tree, the evergreen tree, says, I'm the source of verdant life. Your life comes from me. Your fruitfulness comes from me. To use Jesus' words, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me, he'll bring forth much fruit. Yes.
Is it like that green tree, like a green branch? Is that the sapping?
That produces the life, just yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, then lastly, this is the last, it's the summary. This is a summary of Hosea, the last words, really. Who is wise? Yeah, he's saying is, now you think about this, that's really what he's saying is, stop, look, and think. Yeah. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Yeah? That's what he's appealing to the people. Just think about what I've been telling you. Yeah. You know, obedience, blessing. Disobedience, problems. Yeah. Who is discerning? He will understand them. You know, you have to think about things. That's what God wants you to do, you know. Use the... there's a lady came to the door the other day, a post delivery, and I'd still got my dressing gown on at the time. It was getting late, but I'd been reading and didn't bother getting dressed straight away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to the door, and I said, "Well, what you must think I don't get up in the morning." She says, "I don't think." She says, "They don't pay me enough to think." I said, "Well, you should use the grace that God's given you, you know." But God wants us to think. Think out.
Yeah.
He says, look at what I've been teaching you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Your sources of blessing have always been me. Don't start spending it on idols. It's a waste of time. It'll do you no good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you come back and seek me, and are sorry for what you've done, we'll forget the whole thing. It'll be sorted, yeah? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the ways of the Lord are right. Absolutely. Yes. Always right. Yeah. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. And he's saying is that God set a road. It's the right road. God set that road as a straight road. What direction do the righteous take? They go on that road. Yeah. But what about the ungodly? They don't like this road. They want to go off in any old direction they can. They stumble off and everything else. Paul uses it, well, I'll give you two verses. If you look up Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, yeah, this is the beginning of that idea. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19, and this is, we'll conclude with one more reference after that. Deuteronomy would be a good number. 30, what's it say? I've lost it now. Yes. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. You see, God's right, his ways are right, I'm giving you a choice. Go with him, life. Wrong direction, destruction and death. Yeah? That's what Moses said before them. Well, Paul says that's true with the gospel as well. So if you look at the one last one, it's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Saying to believers, what we talk about with Jesus is the best thing you've ever heard. But to somebody who's going off the rails in the wrong direction, you're talking through your heart. You're completely foolish. And that's the tragedy, and that is the tragedy in the gospel, in a sense. I mean, the good, it's wonderful news, but for those that reject it, you feel sad.
Israelites, and so what went wrong? Because they're still not ready to die, are they?
Many are turning. I mean, it's not there yet.
Lots of years from.
But it's true in the world. I mean, what's true of Israel has been true of the world. There's thousands and thousands of people that don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a series of books by C.S. Lewis, the Narnia Chronicles, and in one of the last ones, I think it's the last battle, they're in this sort of tent type thing, or a hut of some sort, and they bring these flowers in, and they, to the young ones, they're absolutely beautiful flowers, and they give them to, they let their captors have a smell of the flowers. And the captors, get those stinking herbs out of my nose.
Oh.
Yeah? Right? To the captors, they smell rotten.
Yeah.
But to them, they were fragrant. And what C.S. Lewis is saying, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
For the believer, it's absolute joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for the unbeliever, they think it's the worst thing they're going.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we must stop there, dear friends. Lord bless you. Have a good break.
Does it say at the end when everybody comes to the Lord, is that when Christ comes back?
Yes, they'll come to the Lord and the Lord
comes back. So
you've
got to wait till that,
yeah. Well, the majority, yes, but people are turning now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, can we just pray then and we'll call it a day, yeah? Lord, thank you for showing us your love, showing us your mercy, for the patience that we've experienced, Lord. For the grace as we've seen with these people, we wouldn't be any better, Lord, without you. Lord, we do the same stupid, foolish things. And Lord, we have, some of us at times, Lord, as well, as we count up in our lives, our mistakes and our folly. But Lord, you're a God who's willing to forgive when we're willing to ask you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to acknowledge all good gifts come from you. And Lord, may we be grateful people for it. And Lord, make us a blessing. Lord, as you made promises for Israel there, fulfill your plans, but also for your people who are called out of every tribe, language and nation. Lord, make us a blessing, that we may be like the lily, like the cedar with our deep roots. Lord, the blossoming fragrance that we can produce in our lives that others will be blessed by. Lord, take us and use us for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray to Jesus.